We've been studying on Sunday mornings the Lord's Prayer, and that was the reason we had the Lord's Prayer this morning, to remind us of that. And I thought it would be only appropriate, since we've been borrowing Matthew's material for the study of the Lord's Prayer, it would only be meaningful and appropriate to let Matthew also teach us about the resurrection of Jesus. And so Matthew, who has been instructing us in the what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, gets to talk to us today about the resurrection of Jesus. And he has a way of reporting it that is significant for us. We just read this wonderful story about Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, that's no doubt the mother of Christ, going on the first day of the week to the tomb. They have lived through watching Jesus die on the cross. They have lived through going home to their Sabbaths, their Passover Sabbaths, and living through that quietness, living through that inactivity, living through that while waiting for the opportunity to go to the tomb. Maybe you've been to Israel and you know what it's like when the sun finally goes down on the Sabbath, on what would be our Saturday night. When the sun goes down on the Sabbath, then suddenly there's a bustle of activity, and the women, no doubt, went out immediately into the marketplace there in the evening, and they procure what they're going to need for the dawn's work of going to the tomb and anointing the body of Jesus. They have work to do. They have work to do. And so they go to the tomb, but when they get to the tomb, they find that God is already at work at the tomb. There's earthquake, an angel, and the angel comes and appears, and his appearance is transfixing. Lightning and white as snow, and the guards become immobile. And the angel speaks. The angel says what angels always have to say when they start talking to you. The first thing they have to say is, "Don't be afraid." It's in the angel training. When talking to a human being, always begin with, "Don't be afraid." Because they're afraid. Don't be afraid. We know you're looking for Jesus. He is not here. He is risen, just as He said. You've been hearing Him say He was going to be crucified, buried, and on the third day rise again. You've been hearing them. He could say, you've been hearing Him say this since chapter 16. Come see the place where He lay. Come see where He's not. This is stunning. Because these women are no doubt familiar with the ways of death. In that culture, people mourned one another's death. They served one another. Mary, the mother of Jesus, has probably by this time buried Joseph. She is familiar with the ways of death. They know that when you roll the stone away, that you will find in the tomb the one who was placed there a day or two before. You'll find that person. They're not leaving. But the place where Jesus was laid is empty. Come see. The women hurry away from that place, and in this marvelous way that the gospel writers have of saying, afraid yet joyful, doubting yet believing, all this, they don't make it easy. They don't make it sound like they automatically went, "Oh yeah, of course He's raised." They can hardly believe it. They're stunned by it. And they go to tell the disciples, but Jesus meets them. And He says, "Greetings, hi. Hi." Probably in the timbre of His voice that they've heard so many times before, in His voice, and they come and they hold on to Him. And they worship Him. It's a great moment because they find that He is risen. This is a part of what Matthew wants to tell us. He wants to give us these facts that the one who died, and when he died, there was an earthquake and people came out of their tombs. When he died, the curtain of the temple was ripped from top to bottom. The one who will tell us that the guards are paid to say Jesus was stolen. Matthew wants to tell us that Jesus is risen. And this morning, if you need to hear that, we hope you hear that. We hope you hear that this forms a part of the very bedrock of the Christian faith. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that he considered it as of first importance, and what he first delivered to people, that Jesus was crucified, was buried, and on the third day rose again. But that's the heart of the gospel. And then a little bit later in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, if Christ has not been raised, then our faith is empty, and those who have died in Christ are destroyed. He doesn't claim that there is anything virtuous about a dead Jesus and a live Christianity. That in order for the Christian faith to be important, in order for the Christian way of life to be significant, Jesus has to be alive. And so we believe with all of our hearts that the one who was nailed to the cross, whose blood splattered to the ground after a Roman sword lanced his side, who was taken down from that cross dead and wrapped and laid in a tomb, we believe that the power of God raised Jesus from the dead, and our lives have flowed out of that new life. We believe that. Are y'all those folks that believe Jesus rose from the dead? Yes. Are you the folks that believe that Jesus rose from the dead and that makes all the difference in your life? Yes. Yes. But there's something in this Matthew that we want to see. He's got a thing that he does about Galilee. Now, I know you were driving to church this morning going, I just wonder what Matthew is thinking about Galilee. Well, maybe you were. But it's there. The angels say, then go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. Really? And then Jesus says in verse 10, then Jesus says to the women, do not be afraid, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. And you'll see me there. And you're sitting there going, I'm thinking I'm about to hear something I don't care anything about. And that could be true. That is always the risk of preaching to folks. That you may be telling them something that they're going to go, not so much. But Matthew's from Galilee. Remember that Matthew's house was one of the houses there in Capernaum. There he was the tax collector. He's from Galilee. And he knows that most of Jesus' ministry was a ministry in Galilee. And he knows some other things about Galilee. Galilee's not in Jerusalem. Galilee is not at the center of the Jewish religious world. He knows that Galilee is an area of Palestine that has been influenced by Greek culture. That the people in and around Jerusalem consider it sort of almost pagan. It's just on the edge. He knows that when he recorded up in Caesarea Philippi that Jesus says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, that there in that upper part of Galilee, the gates of hell didn't refer to hell. It referred to what the Jews thought of the temple to the god Pan, the Greek god Pan, from which we get pandemonium. And that temple is there at Caesarea Philippi, just up in the cave above the spring that comes out and forms the beginning of the River Jordan. And Jesus is standing there in the shadow of the temple to Pan when they confess that He's the Christ, the Son of God. Galilee is out there. Galilee is in the world. Galilee is where there are people who are wrestling in their culture to find out who they are and what they're about. There's a synagogue in Capernaum, yes. But there's all kinds of other influences up there. And the 11 disciples leave and they go to Galilee. I don't know where all this fits. It's somewhere in that 40 days that Jesus was here on the earth and they take this little excursion to Galilee. You get a little picture of some of this in John 21. On the side of the Sea of Galilee, there's fishing and Jesus is cooking breakfast, and that's kind of nice. I want you to know that I think Matthew wants us not to stay in Jerusalem. Now, Luke's got a way of talking about this too, and it's very compelling. But Matthew's got a way of saying, I don't want you to stay in Jerusalem. This is not about just remembering the life of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus and making a shrine and hanging around the shrine. Constantine had a wife. And when Constantine became a Christian, his wife became a Christian of a sort. We'll ask her someday. And she decided that her Christian virtue would be to go around to the Holy Land and build a church on top of every religious site. And so when you go to the church of Nativity, she decided you needed to build a church just boom, right over where the manger was. And you go down to the church of the Holy Sepulchre, where the traditional site of the tomb of Jesus was, she decided, boom, you ought to build a church just right over that. And people go to the Holy Land, they go down into the Church of the Nativity, and they see the little gold star, and they think maybe baby Jesus was there, maybe so, I don't know. And they go down the road and up and back over into Jerusalem and walk down the Via Dolorosa and the Stations of the Cross, and you finally get into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and there in the middle of this vast church is this tomb. You line up and look at it. You can go to Jerusalem. But Matthew has a different thought. Matthew wants us to know that Jesus is not about being raised from the dead so he can establish a national park. Jesus is not raised from the dead to make another Lincoln Memorial. The Jesus Memorial. Jesus is raised from the dead so that people will go from Jerusalem to the world, to the Galilee. And so they go to Galilee and they see him and they worship and they worship and they doubt and this is the man who was on the cross. Can we hardly believe that he's alive? And they doubt and they believe and they doubt and they believe, but they go forward just like you do. On the days you wake up and you go, Jesus is raised from the dead? Are you kidding me? I'm going to keep living forward to him. And then later in the day, you go, Jesus is raised from the dead. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's raised from the dead. I know dead. I know dead. I've seen dead. He's raised from that? Yes. And so in this mixture of worship and doubt, faith and wonder, Jesus comes to them in Galilee and says, you bewildered, faithful folks, I want you to be my people in the world. I want you to leave. I want you to leave Jerusalem. You're going to be in Jerusalem. Luke says, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and then in Judea and Samaria, and then to the rest of the world. That's what Luke says. Matthew lets us hear Jesus say, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, and go and make disciples of all the nations. And all the nations are going to look a lot more like Galilee than they're going to look like Jerusalem. I want you out of the box. I want you out of the shrine. I want you away from the memorial. I want you outside the Christian National Park. I want you to go. And I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I want to teach you to teach them some more. I want them to learn me. And all that's going to happen out there. And I think that's meaningful for us in Austin. Because when you're in Austin, Texas, here at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk in downtown, right there with the History Museum across the street and AT&T bragging about itself across the street and the library tower right over there and I don't know what else is around. This isn't much like Jerusalem. This isn't much like where the temple is. This isn't much like the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, believe me. It's not a place surrounded with the trappings of high and holiness. This is a place where people go and they learn things and about the way the world works. And this is where politicians come and they learn how the world works. And this is where people come and they see what the music sounds like and they see what Sixth Street's about. And they sit at Chacon and Rosewood and sell you things in the dark. And you almost have to ask, Lord, do you want us to go to Austin? Oh, yeah. Does the risen Lord have anything to say in Austin? Yes. Does the death of Christ mean anything in Austin, Texas? Yes. Does it mean something to lost people in Austin and found people in Austin? Yes. This is Galilee. We live in a Galilee. We live in a place where the gates of hell stand. We live in a place that is marked by secular culture. We live in a place where Satan knows people's name. We live in a place where salvation needs to come. We live in a place where Jesus would come and die and be buried and be raised for just these folks. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. And Jesus tells the disciples who are willing to walk out into the world as it is and tell the story of the resurrection after the cross, I'm with you always to the end of the age. He is risen. He is with us. We praise the Lord on this Easter Sunday. Let's stand and sing.